Last night of the school year, I know you guys have a bit of a grind coming up, but it's in sight, right? So we've been going through a series on the earliest of believers in the Bible from Acts 2 and a little bit elsewhere. And first week we looked at testifying and our testimony and how that needs to play an important part in our lives. How we need to be constantly being thankful for what God has delivered us from, but also understanding that God is working and constantly building our testimony and our story, and the Holy Spirit can do amazing things through just recounting what Jesus has done and is doing. And then we talked about abiding in Christ and how we need to stay connected to the vine, how the branches, when they stay connected, they're going to naturally bear fruit, and how we need to stay rooted in Christ and connected to Him. And then last week, we talked about community. We talked about the importance of building community, about growing in community, and when we're staying connected to Jesus and then doing community well, that the Holy Spirit works and unifies us and then builds each other up, but also brings people in who are attracted to this amazing, loving community that we formed. And I was trying to think of what the best way to kind of round it all off was, and round off the year, and the word that came when I was thinking about it and praying about it was trust. And because to me, if we don't trust in Jesus, we can't abide in Him. We can't have this Christ-centered community in Him if we're not putting our whole selves and surrendering to Him, trusting Him with everything. So, trust. As I looked back, and it's going to sound a little bit like a greatest hits from last semester maybe, but the first thing that I found was, as I was looking into trust, was I saw the story of Joshua and how God told him to be strong and courageous, and there were these two words that kept coming up in his life. And in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, it says this: "Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, 'Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors. He would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you.'" He goes before. And we need to relentlessly trust in that Jesus is going before us, that He's paving the way, that by the Holy Spirit, we can trust that we're going to be provided for, that we don't need to worry. And I don't know what all of you are going towards for this, or where you're going for the summer. Some of you are probably going back home and you're going to be back with us. Some of you are not going to be back in Brookings, at least to live, maybe ever again. And especially that case, but I think even going into the summer sometimes is a little bit scary. There's a little bit of unknown. But especially if you're graduating or not coming back and you're going into something new, there's a lot of unknown and there's a lot to worry about. There's a lot of ways that we could be discouraged and that we could start to be like, I don't know what's going on. I know from personal experience that the summer feels pretty good after you graduate because you're like, yeah, never doing school again. Even though I ended up in school a year and a half later. But you can trick yourself into thinking, I said, I'm never going back. And then it was like, oh, I probably should. It's a good opportunity to learn more. But the summer's going to feel good. And then sometime around maybe end of August, September, or October, this weird feeling is going to set in that you're going to say, whoa, something has changed. There's a big difference here. Now, I'm not only working full-time for the summer to make money for school, I am working full-time for life now. That sounds like a life sentence. It can be really good and fruitful. And you can be amazing servants wherever you're going to work. So don't be discouraged about that. But there's this weird feeling of unsure things, of maybe thinking you're losing that community that you formed, and you're like, yeah, this amazing community. I made a great community on campus or at Grace Point or maybe through some other organization or in my small group, we were so tight-knit. And now I don't have that. And there's a lot of ways that we can start to worry, or we can start to let the enemy tell us that maybe we shouldn't trust in God, or maybe that was just a phase of our life. That maybe our time here at college, when we got to go to Oasis, and we got to celebrate Jesus every Sunday night, and it was awesome, and the worship was super good, maybe that was just a phase. And that's what he wants to tell us. He wants to tell us that community isn't something that can come again. And while I will say you're never going to live quite in the same proximity, and maybe for sanitation reasons, probably for the best, especially for some of you guys. But there are things and community that can be formed after you leave from here. But we need to trust in Jesus. And we need to put our whole trust in him, knowing that while there might be battles, while it might be hard, he has a way for us and he's going to provide. As I was thinking on this, I couldn't help but think on Matthew 6, where Jesus tells us not to worry. He says, look at how beautiful the fields are with all their flowers, prettier than any bride on her wedding day. And look at how I provide for the birds. And they're just like doing life and they're totally fine. Don't you think that your Father in heaven wants to do so much more for you? The enemy wants to seed in doubts in our lives. He wants you to doubt Jesus. But in staying connected to Jesus, we need to understand that we need to give him our whole selves, that we need to relentlessly trust in him and know that he is going to provide, even though that there's going to be times where it feels rocky and it feels rough. So that brings us to Acts. We've been looking through the book of Acts and the early apostles and all of the amazing things that they've been doing. And we got to see thousands of people come to Christ. And then there's this amazing way that God's unifying them and brought the Holy Spirit together with them. And they're all sharing all their stuff. It sounds amazing to me that there's like nobody, like I honestly think they just started being so committed to Jesus and so committed to abiding in him and their community and loving God and loving people, that they said, oh, who cares about stuff? I'm going to work and then just give my stuff to everyone. I'm going to trust in him with everything. But the enemy wanted to break that up. He wanted there to be some people who were persecuting Christians. And so there's a lot of sweet miracles that happen. And then we see Stephen get stoned in Acts 7. And it says this at the start of Acts 8. Saul, who is Paul, was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Then it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. That's what he did. Saul decided that everyone needed to be persecuted, that they were doing this wrong, that the Jewish way was the right way, and this Christian thing needed to go. And all of the believers dispersed. They all went everywhere and scattered through all the regions. But then, I think you guys can already see it, but it's always sometimes a good thing. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. I think there's some amazing things for us to get from this. Because when the enemy wants to tear us down, when he wants us to lose our faith and our trust and our hope in Jesus, he brings oppression. He brings persecution. He brings us down. Maybe he has some way of harming you or harming a family member. Maybe a death happens really close to you and you start to question. But what I think is amazing here about these believers who get scattered everywhere, it says only the apostles remained in Jerusalem. So I don't know if it's of the 120. I imagine it's thousands of people were spread all over because they feared being put in prison or being killed. And it says they spread the good news of Jesus wherever they went. And thankfully, we don't have persecution, we have graduation. Or maybe moving on to something else or transferring to somewhere that's moving people on from this place. But over the summer even, everyone's going to go out to different places. Very few people stay in Brookings. It's quiet around here. It's fun for May and then it gets boring. But you're going to go out. And you're going to spread, and you're going to be put outside of some of your community. And maybe you don't have the same type of community back home. If you do, that's amazing. And I pray that the Lord continues to bless and grow that. But maybe you don't. Or maybe you're moving somewhere new for a job. And the enemy wants us, when we get away from things, to do everything but spread the good news. To do everything but get connected to other people. Sometimes there's going to be moments where we feel dispersed and maybe oppressed after we move on from somewhere. Maybe it's just because we missed something. And I'm going to tell you, I missed being in college, especially since I lived with my mom and dad for 4 years after college. It was fun and good. Not the, you know, it's not the coolest thing. God wants us to relentlessly trust in him. And when we trust in him and we abide in him and we realize that there is community that we can find wherever we go, it might not look the same as this. Your new friends might be 37 and 52 that you're in a small group with, a ladies small group or a men's small group. But don't let just your preconceived notions of what exactly community looks like. Let the enemy make that too narrow of a thing. Open yourselves up and spread the good news. Another thing that I think is amazing here, it says that after all of those demons get cast out and all those people are healed, it said, so there was great joy in that city. And I don't know if everyone realizes this, but Brookings is a pretty sweet city as far as there's a lot of people who know about Jesus. There's a lot of people who don't, and we need to reach them. But there's a lot of people who do. But you might be going to maybe a bigger city or a city somewhere else where there's not as many people who know about Jesus, who know Jesus. But I have some good news that when you go from this place, when you trust in him, when you give him your everything, that you're going to have amazing potential to bring great joy to a community. To get connected with people and see the way that the Holy Spirit winds people together. The way that when we trust in Jesus, he creates opportunities. Or I don't know if any of you had this before. I've walked into a coffee shop, saw someone in line, and I'm like, I know that person's a Christian. They don't have a Bible on them, but I just got this feeling. There's something in me that's just saying there's a connection. And then I see them sit down, and they sit down with this guy, and I see them pray, and I'm like, oh, that I knew it. It feels good. One time on Amazon, when I called them, I actually ended up saying, "Hey, like, yeah, I'm a Christian." And he's like, "Yeah, me too." And we got to talk. It was really cool. And he was in India, and I got to pray for him. And I was like scared to tell him because I'm like, this is Amazon, you know, that's weird. But I was like, there's just something on the phone right now. I just know. The Holy Spirit does amazing things, supernatural things, healing things when we trust in Him. And even though we're all going out from this place after this week, He's going to continue to build and grow you. And this community is going to disperse. And many of you won't be back here, but there are going to be ways that you can get connected and ways that you can have the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord every single place that you go. And I was thinking on this. I was thinking about spreading the joy of the Lord, spreading the way that we go out. And I was drawn to this verse in John when Jesus says this, and this is right after he talked about the Holy Spirit. He says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And he says that several times in this discourse in John in 14, 15, and 16. "Ask anything in my name, and I will do it." But I want to pinpoint the first verse in this section, verse 12, where it says that the works, greater works, will be done still than Jesus. And I have been bothered about that before. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out and do more than Jesus because I'm going to get older than 33 in 4 years. But it's like, but I haven't fed 5,000 people and I haven't healed too many people and I definitely haven't brought back someone to life and all this stuff. And I started looking into it and it's not this quantitative miraculous thing and it's not a qualitative miraculous thing. So it's not that you're going to be better than Jesus. But what Jesus is saying is that when I go to the Father, that there's going to be this new way, this new life ushered in that isn't here right now. While Jesus was alive, he was ushering in the kingdom. He was paving the way for the kingdom. He was setting down the tracks so that it could be born. So that these apostles would be able to do amazing, fruitful ministry. So that the Holy Spirit could come. But he wasn't there for that. He had to go to the Father. He had to die and to rise again and ascend to the right hand. So that we might be kingdom builders. So that we might carry the Holy Spirit and connect with people. And see them built up in the kingdom or brought into the kingdom. So that we might see people confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And going from here, when the disciples dispersed and went all over, it's how Christianity spread. So what the enemy wanted to use for evil, Jesus came in and redeemed it. By way of the Holy Spirit, there were all these people hearing about Jesus. And even Paul, it's this amazing thing. And I think this is a way that we need to learn to trust in Jesus, and I really need to push into personally. Is that Saul, this person who's killing Christians, he's putting them in jail, he's like on his way to march some orders to persecute more Christians, and then he meets Jesus, and he has this radical transformation, and he comes to know him, and we need to be people that, and there's disciples and there's people that I'm sure at first did not believe it. It says that Paul kind of had to go away for a time because at first they were like, ah, this guy's trying to be an infiltrator. He's trying to be a spy. But he has this amazing encounter with Jesus and he comes to know him. And I haven't seen anyone, thankfully, who's been killing Christians, but I have seen people who hated the church. I've seen people who wanted nothing to do with it. I've seen people who were so far into drinking and drugs that they had, you would have never thought that they would step into a church. And I've seen them come to know Jesus in an amazing way. So in the same way that we need to be trusting Jesus for ourselves, that we need to be trusting him with our everything, we need to be trusting him that he's going to work through us giving him our everything, and that he might put us in a place to connect with people who would never hear the name of Jesus. There was someone at the church that I last came from who used to be a Hell's Angels. And he was their event coordinator. Hilarious that they have an event coordinator person. But he used to be a Hell's Angels, and he came to know Jesus. I've seen people that slept around more than any person I've ever met. This one person. And he came to know Jesus. And if I would have seen that person months before, I would have said, they're not even worth my time. But I need to trust that Jesus is bigger. And we need to put our faith so heavily in him that amazing things can happen wherever we are, wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is at work in this place, but not just this place. It's at work in this place because he's at work in each and every one of your hearts. Let him work in you and flow through you, trusting Jesus with everything, hardship and struggle, and also with everyone around you. In Psalm 3, 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." We need to give him our everything so that we can see where we're going in his name. It's not always going to be clear, and that's part of trusting him. He's going to make your path straight, but he might not light that whole path for us. Trust in him, and he will do amazing things. We're going to go into a time of prayer here in a second, and our prayer tonight is going to be a little bit different. What I'm going to ask is that all of the seniors and all of the people who won't be here anymore next year, if you would stand, and I know it's going to take some boldness, but if you would stand, we're going to pray over you as you go. We're going to pray over you that the Spirit would guide you, that he would build you, and that you would bring joy to a city. So if you feel comfortable, or maybe a little uncomfortable, because that's okay, if you would stand, and then if everyone around these people, we got a lot up here, we might need some people to come in. If you're near someone, put your hand on them. And if not, if you would stretch your hand out to them, we're going to pray for all of these people going from this place. And we're going to commission them that the Lord would use them and that they would trust in him with everything that they have. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your amazing love, your amazing care, your amazing hope. And God, we pray for each and every one of these people that will be going from Brookings, that on Saturday as they walk the stage, that they will be going from here, that they won't call this home anymore. But God, we pray that you would stir in them, that you would guide their path. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would build in them. God, we pray for trust. We pray for hope. God, we pray where hope and trust and faith are lacking, that you would build it. God, we pray that in new places, we would lean on you. God, we pray that they would trust in you, that they would know that when you are at their center, when they are abiding in you, when they are connected to you, that you will provide. And God, we pray that if there are storms and there are hardships and there are people oppressing them, that you would help them in the storm, that you would help them in the troubles. And God, we pray for connections with other believers. We pray that they would be connected to a community, that though it might not look like this, though it might be different, though it might be in a church full of elderly people, that they would find community, that they would find your joy, that they would find your spirit. And God, that they would grow in their faith with you. God, I pray over all of the people here that we would trust in you more, that we would give you our everything, our whole being. And God, we pray that we would also entrust and pray for those around us who seem at the furthest place from you. God, we pray that we wouldn't get tired of seeking you, of praying for people coming into your fold, into your kingdom. And God, we pray that when we need to speak up, that your spirit would nudge us. God, we pray that we would be a people that have the power of the Spirit and pray over people and see amazing, miraculous things happen in your name. God, help us to trust in you. Help us to step into unknown territory. Help us to be guided by you. And when we lack faith, help us to give it over to you and say, Jesus, you are able. God, we thank you for your amazing love. And we thank you for each and every person here. We love you, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The only application challenge I have for you is this. Over the next week, as you go into finals, and maybe even into the summer and beyond, wake up telling God how much you love and how much you trust him. Tell him, I trust you, and give him all of your burdens because he wants to carry them. That when we connect ourselves with him, when we are yoked to him like another oxen, if there's a lightness that comes, trust in him and know that he will provide.